for the 1215 News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 82. Tonight, clear with a low of 60. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting the news. Wayne County mobile home tax bills will be mailed by next Wednesday, according to Treasurer Donna Masterson. The due date for the bills is September 1st. A late fee of $25 per month will be assessed beginning September 2nd, and the late fee will cap at $100. The total amount extended this year is $104,510.78 for 1,084 mobile homes. That's down over $4,000 and nearly 60 homes from last year. Per Masterson, the reason for the decline in the number of mobile homes is a law that was enacted in 2011, which directed the Supervisor of Assessment's Office to bill mobile homes as real estate tax once sold. The total extension in 2014 was nearly $158,000. Bills may be paid in person at the Wayne County Courthouse, though people entering must wear a face mask and have their temperatures taken. Payments may also be made by mail or by using the drop box on the west side of the courthouse. People needing other arrangements or who have questions should call Masterson's office at 842-5087. Office hours are from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. More news next.
At UBearers Furniture Company, we know this is a time for safety and comfort. We're all spending more time at home to do our part at keeping everyone safe. We're here to help. UBearers has essentials like lift chairs and office furniture to help you work from home and do distance learning. Now we're open with limited hours and new guidelines. Starting May 1st, hours are Monday through Friday, 10 till 4, and Saturday, 10 till 3. Shop our website, our Facebook page, or call us at 662-4322. Shop UBearers Furniture Company, where the deals are worth a drive. Highway 50 East, Flora.
Built on dedication, Graver Post Buildings has earned the trust of thousands throughout the Heartland. A major leader in the post frame industry, you can turn to us for advice, best price, and most durable, long-lasting products and buildings in the country. Buildings for agriculture, commercial, residential, and even new roofs. We have the staff, crews, and supplies to handle your project. Turn to Graver Post, a tradition for over 45 years. Call us today at 800-264-5013. Visit us online at graverpost.com or drop by our showroom near Odin, Indiana.
In other news, 28-year-old Fairfield resident Derek S. Thomason was sentenced yesterday in Wayne County Circuit Court. He pleaded guilty to counts of DUI and driving with a suspended license. Thomason was sentenced to 2 years probation for the DUI count and 2 years special section probation for the other count, and the sentences will run concurrently. He was also sentenced to time served in jail. Several other cases against Thomason were dismissed per his plea, and he was ordered to pay $917 in fines and court costs. Several people were booked in the Wayne County Jail yesterday and this morning. 41-year-old Fairfield resident David J. Straub was arrested early this morning by Fairfield police on charges of domestic battery and possession of controlled or counterfeit substances. He is accused of restraining a woman in her vehicle and then tackling her in a yard when she was able to get out. He was held in jail, pending an appearance before a judge to set bond. 30-year-old Sisney resident Dalton J. Spicer was arrested by Fairfield police early this morning on a charge of DUI. He submitted to a breath test at the jail, which resulted in a .154 BAC. Spicer was held, pending the posting of $120 bond. Fairfield police also arrested 24-year-old Fairfield resident Jordy N. Robertson yesterday afternoon on a charge of driving with a suspended or revoked license. Robertson was held, pending the posting of $270 bond. 44-year-old Jerry R. Ewing and 29-year-old Jacob K. Fenton, both of Fairfield, were arrested by state police near noon yesterday. Ewing was charged with driving with a suspended license, and Fenton was charged with obstructing justice. They were held, pending the posting of bond. 31-year-old Fairfield resident Loretta M. Cottrell was booked in the jail yesterday afternoon on a Wayne County warrant for failure to appear in court on a charge of failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Cottrell was held, pending the posting of $495 bond. 47-year-old Fairfield resident Christopher A. Medler was arrested yesterday afternoon by Fairfield police on a Wayne County warrant for possession of methamphetamine. He was released after posting $1,020 bond. No injuries were reported in a single car accident roughly 5 miles west of Jeff last night. Police say 32-year-old Jeff resident Joshua D. Downen was westbound on a county highway in a Kia Sorento at approximately 11:15. He reportedly ran off the left side of the road, overcorrected, ran off the right side of the road, struck a ditch, and overturned, coming to rest on the car's roof. A tow truck was called, and the vehicle sustained over $1,500 damage. Downen was cited for leaving the scene of a property or vehicle damage accident. The Fall Fun Fest Committee met last night and voted not to hold the event this year. One major concern for the committee, in addition to more general COVID-19 issues, was acquiring state approval for shutting down a portion of the highway through Fairfield. They said they couldn't take the chance and will not hold the festival. The Fall Fun Fest is the latest in the line of major entertainment events in the county canceled due to COVID-19. Wayne City Bean Days was canceled last week, and the Wayne County Fair Board, after initially planning to hold its fair, canceled over the weekend due to continuing developments with state and county fairs. The Fairfield City Council met last night and voted to spend TIF funds for the purchase of new gas and water meters. The water meters will cost $53,485, and the gas meters will cost $4,478. TIF will pay 75% for both projects. The council also approved a street closing request from Not Your Ordinary Church for July 19th from 3 to 10 p.m. Aldermen Brett Cole, Gary Moore, and Terry Stahl voted no on the request. Street and Bridge Superintendent Robert Camp addressed the council concerning the purchase of a new tractor and rotary mower. The city currently contracts a third party for mowing and baling, and Camp said city property would look much neater with the new equipment. The council voted to purchase the items from Carter's for $67,275 in a 5-year lease purchase agreement. Aldermen appointed Kayla Warren to the library board to replace Julie Duncan, and they appointed Henry Simmers to the recreation committee. In the final item of scheduled business, Mayor Brent McGuire issued a proclamation designating June 23rd as Rosalie Atkins Day in Fairfield. Atkins will retire soon from Community Care Systems, where she has worked since 1993. In other business, Alderman Ralph Barbary inquired on the status of the Casey's construction project on West Main Street. Flo Simpson said no release to build date had been announced, and Barbary said improvements needed to be made on the barricades and fencing around the property, as some barriers have fallen and may pose a safety hazard. Simpson said she would contact Casey's to advise them of the situation. Betty Ray addressed the council concerning a dead tree on city property near her house. She said she was afraid someone would be hurt by a falling limb, and the council discussed a total review of their tree ordinance, agreeing that several trees posed concern on city property. The council also passed a resolution of support for Wayne County Law Enforcement Appreciation Day on July 2nd, and it extended its thanks to City Police Officer Charlie McMean for his years of service to the city. The Frontier Community College Foundation received COVID-19 emergency funds to assist students who need additional financial resources as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and who did not qualify for CARES Act funding. FCC students in need of additional funding for technology needs, childcare, transportation, housing, tuition, or other matters are encouraged to apply for the grant opportunity, and the application has a full range of areas covered in the grant. Funding applications are available on the FCC Facebook page, by contacting Coordinator of Financial Aid Lori Noe, or by emailing fccfa@iecc.edu. Funding has been made available through donations to the Illinois Board of Higher Education, Illinois Student Assistance Commission, and Illinois Community College Board. The groups came together in partnership with the Southern Illinois University Foundation to create the Public University and Community College Student COVID-19 Emergency Fund. Core principles of the group are to get funds to students in need as quickly as possible, while providing funds to organizations that already have relationships with students. The funds are emergency grants that students do not have to pay back, and they will not impact students' financial aid awards. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced yesterday afternoon that face-to-face classroom instruction will resume at Illinois schools this fall. Students and staff will be required to wear face masks, and a cloth mask will be provided free of charge by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. More than 50 people gathering in one place will not be allowed, and social distancing will be required when possible, according to State School Superintendent Carmen Ayala.
This fall will not be business as usual, and we will update our guidance as needed in response to challenging and changing public health conditions. Schools and districts must be prepared to return to remote learning if the virus surges again.
Schools will also have to conduct symptom screenings and temperature checks, or they may allow self-certification that people entering the school are symptom-free. Cleaning and disinfection will also be increased. The plan does allow school districts to set up their own plans for getting students back into classrooms, which may include staggered schedules based on their own unique enrollment, facilities, staffing, transportation, and technology capacities. The Illinois State Board of Education is receiving $569 million in federal funding from the CARES Act to address local needs in response to the pandemic, and a link to the full plan may be found on our headlines page. The Illinois Department of Public Health announced 601 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday afternoon and 38 additional deaths, including a man in his 70s in Jefferson County. Statewide totals sat at 137,825 cases and 6,707 deaths. Marion County announced 2 new cases yesterday, bringing its total to 64. For the second straight day, the new cases in Marion County were the only announced cases in southeastern Illinois, according to coronavirus.illinois.gov. Wayne County remained at 11 total cases, and Edwards County remained at 2. IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike says more testing is being done, and numbers have gone down considerably from a peak of roughly 4,000 new cases in one day 6 weeks ago.
Please forget what you've heard. Increased testing is a good thing. Testing capacity across the state continues to grow. The highest number of specimens reported in a single 24-hour period was last Wednesday, when nearly 30,000 tests were reported. These are all positive signs and affirm that the steps we have taken to slow the spread of COVID-19 are indeed working.
The preliminary statewide positivity rate for June 16th through the 22nd was 2%, and the southern region's rate was 3%. All 4 regions meet the requirements to move to Phase 4 on Friday. Soybean planting is wrapping up, according to the latest statewide weekly crop report. Crop statistician Mark Schleusener says 97% of soybean acres have been planted,
compared to last year's 76 and 92% normally. The condition of the crop was reported as 8% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 60% good to excellent. That is worse than 1 week ago.
Corn fell to 59% in good to excellent condition. Schleusener says the first cutting of alfalfa is also wrapping up, and 26% of winter wheat has been harvested.
That compares to 12% 1 year ago and 37% for the 5-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was reported as 14% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 65% good to excellent, a little better than 1 week ago.
Average statewide topsoil moisture dropped to 7% very short, 26% short, 63% adequate, and 4% surplus. That's the news. Area deaths next.
You know what sounds fun? Holiday World sounds fun. We're talking the kind of fun that takes 128 acres to contain it. The kind of fun that leads to the sounds of silence on the car ride home. Because the kids will be sleeping. The kind of fun you need to start having today. But you can only get tickets online and only at holidayworld.com.
Free shopping, free parking, free sunscreen!
That was fun.
Freedom Festival 2020, weekends at Lark Ranch in Ligoti starting July 4th through the 19th. Acres of family fun, enjoy over 20 attractions, take a ride on the train, bungee jump on the air extreme, ride the kids' zipline, check out the farm animals, gold panning, pedal go-karts, giant slides, and more. Each day there will be food trucks, fair food, live musics, and more. Bring the family to Lark Ranch Freedom Festival. Check out Lark Ranch on Facebook for information or larkranch.com for ticket sales.
Currently in Fairfield, it is 80. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial representative located at 101 East Delaware Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 25,551, down 604. The NASDAQ is at 9,922, down 208. August crude oil is at $38.48, down $1.89. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 69-year-old Ellery resident Stanley Linden Mann died on Tuesday. He was an engineer. Stan Mann is survived by his wife, Shirley, two sons, brothers Mike of Ellery, Stephen of Olney, and Ron of Albion, seven grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Graveside services for Stan Mann will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday at Little Prairie Cemetery. Memorials can be made to the Little Prairie Christian Church or to the Wounded Warrior Project. They will be accepted at Nails Funeral Home in Albion, which is in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Do you have pelvic pain, heavy bleeding, urinary leakage? Local OBGYN physician Dr. David Asbury can help. For over a decade, Dr. Asbury has made a huge impact in improving the quality of healthcare. Dr. Asbury is the most experienced robotic surgeon in the Mount Vernon area. His years of experience, coupled with his compassion for each and every patient, makes Dr. David Asbury and his practice very desirable. Asbury and Associates, with four offices in Southern Illinois to serve you.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 forecast for today. Sunny skies. We'll have a high today around 82. It'll be clear tonight. We're expecting a low of 60, and then mostly sunny skies tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 88. Yeah, look for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mostly sunny skies on Friday with a high of 92 and low of 70. Scattered showers are possible on Saturday. Saturday's high will be around 88 with a low of 72. And then scattered showers on Sunday. Sunday will have a high of 85 with a low around 70.